Another Gulf nation, Qatar, is in the spotlight this week for its role in negotiating the release of Peter Theo Curtis. He's the American writer who was held by militants in Syria for nearly 2 years. And one lingering question regarding his release is whether a ransom was paid. The U.S. government rejects ransom payments, but other nations have been reported to pay for the release of their captured citizens. In the Curtis case, a White House spokesman strongly denied any suggestion of a ransom.
The United States government certainly did not ask the Qataris to pay a ransom. In fact, we asked the Qataris, consistent with our longstanding policy, to not pay a ransom for Mr. Curtis.
But that's not the message militants are hearing, according to David Rode. He's the former New York Times reporter who was held captive by the Taliban a few years back. He's now with Reuters, and last week we checked in with him after the execution of another American hostage in Syria, James Foley. I spoke with David Rode again today.
You know, whether or not a ransom was actually paid, the problem is that kidnappers in the region, these militant groups, are going to believe that a ransom was paid. When I was in captivity many years ago, 5 years ago with the Taliban, Captain Phillips, in this famous raid off the coast of Somalia, was rescued by the U.S. Navy SEALs. The Taliban commander who kidnapped me listened to a report on the BBC Pashto service, the local language service, and just shook his head when this description of the raid was on the radio. And he just said that raid never happened. That's a fiction the U.S. government created. You know, I know the American government actually paid some huge ransom in secret. So, you know, I still think people who do these things are going to think a huge ransom was paid and will try to kidnap other foreigners.
What do you think is the relationship between the episode in which journalist James Foley was executed last week and the release of Theo Curtis? Is there any?
I think there's a very good chance that Jim Foley may have saved Theo Curtis's life. Theo Curtis was held by a different group from Jim Foley, and I think it put a lot of pressure on Qatar to show that it could have influence on this group that had Theo Curtis and it could get him out. There was suddenly some urgency and a desire for a positive story for Qatar and for the U.S.
Well, let's talk about Qatar's role, because it seems that it was Samantha Power, U.S. ambassador to the U.N., who introduced Theo Curtis's family to her counterpart in Qatar to help negotiate his release. How common is that?
Families go to every American official they can. I know the Foleys in particular talked to different American diplomats, including Susan Rice, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. at the time. So that's not unusual. What is unusual, what deserves more focus, is Qatar. And, you know, there have been reports for a long time that Qatar was essentially backing this group. It's called the Nusra Front. It's a jihadist group. It's allied with al-Qaeda. It's slightly less extreme than the group that killed Jim Foley. You know, the Qatari government denies it, but there's this long history of countries, including the U.S., you know, using proxies. The U.S. had jihadis fight the Soviets in Afghanistan. We learned what a disaster that was, that you don't control these groups, that these groups become Frankensteins. But I'm afraid that Qatar hasn't learned this lesson. Saudi Arabia is said to fund some jihadi groups that they think can counter, you know, Iran and achieve its goals. And of course, Pakistan has a long history of, you know, working with the Afghan Taliban. And it's a disastrous policy. So I want to know why Qatar was suddenly able to get these jihadists to free Theo. I'm glad they did, but, you know, they have apparently a great deal of influence.
I mean, do you have any idea what is in this deal for Qatar?
You know, it's a positive. It shows the U.S. they can produce, that they can control their proxies. These captors held him for 2 years, and these are, you know, small groups. They spent a lot of time having guards around him 24/7. They fed him. There's like an amount of money that they invest in holding a captive for so long. So I do not know if a ransom was paid, but if there wasn't, you know, Qatar exerted a huge amount of pressure to get these groups to just release him.
If we believe the White House line that there was no ransom paid, what do you think's in it for the Nusra Front to just let Theo Curtis go without getting anything apparently solid in return?
Nothing. Either something was paid or Qatar has very powerful links and a certain degree of influence and even control of the Nusra Front, a group aligned with al-Qaeda. Qatar has to answer some questions here.
Journalist David Rode with Reuters, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.